presented to humanity as one or more religions. The first five of these truths have formed the mystical understanding of the five great religions of the world, namely, Far East religions, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, and any other mystical teaching on earth, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and the Baha'i Faith. Maitreya explains that although many basic truths are shared with all of them, each of these seven religions have one single outstanding message, which, when realized and combined with the six messages from the other truths, a great spiritual path will be revealed, and if followed, human liberation is guaranteed. This path is called the Eternal Divine Path. In his teachings, Maitreya not only reveals a practical path to liberation, but also explains that each religion of the world has made a specific contribution to the greater truth and will realize completeness only when combined with other great religions. He teaches that not only are great religions of the world not contradictory, but actually are complementary. With these new teachings, a great path, eternal divine path, is revealed. And by accepting this path, humanity can be united and so benefit from all the revelations from God. So this will result in the unification of all. Maitreya also explains the reason for differences in some points between these religions. These differences occur because of the people to whom the revelations have been revealed, the influence of the personality of the prophet, the misunderstanding of the followers of the prophet, or the dogmatic ideas created by the followers. If these discrepancies are put away and the eternal divine path is followed, and if the essence of the teaching of Maitreya is understood, then humanity will be unified. Besides these basic teachings, Maitreya also explains how many prophecies have been fulfilled up to this point of human history. He identifies the source of suffering of humanity, individually and or collectively, and gives the cure. The greatest sign. These teachings evolve around a sign or mandala, yantra, etc., which is called the greatest sign. The greatest sign contains seven sub-signs, which cover all the great religions of the world and also show the seven steps of the spiritual achievement, the eternal divine path, to the ultimate goal of life. Although his teachings cover many truths, explain creation and history, and reveal a new message to humanity, the essence of his teaching, Eternal Divine Path, is crystallized in this sign. This teaching can be contemplated, understood, and realized. The shape of the greatest sign will be built as the temple. Each of the seven sub-signs or symbols of the religions of the world will be an entrance to the temple, a great library of books related to all the religions of the world will surround the center of the temple. This temple will be another symbol to unify all. Universities teaching the new sciences, also other necessary topics, can be built around these temples. The science of the Golden Age will be based on the spiritual understanding of the deeper levels of the universe through spiritual science, or science based on spirit. The word, the divine name. Maitreya also reveals the true pronunciation of the sacred name of the Lord, Father, and His Son in four initiations. These names can neither be pronounced or written in the material world. When they merge into one, the Son and the Father become one, it is called the Word. Quote, but speak the Word only, and my servant shall be healed, from Matthew 8:8. A footnote on science based on spirit refers to any scientific explanation of universal formation based on spirit, which will be manifested and used in the future for the benefit of humanity. These discoveries will not have any of the side effects, such as pollution, of conventional science, which humanity is familiar with in this three-dimensional world. Revelation of the Seven Seals. In his teachings, Maitreya explains that all these seven truths, which also are revealed in the greatest sign, have been prophesied spiritually to come as different religions of the world. In this regard, the book Revelation of the Revelation, a revelation of the meaning of the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, is most helpful. In this book, the symbols of the seven churches, seven seals, and seven angels are repeated again and again. In addition to other meanings, these are shown to symbolize the seven religions of the world and cover all the truths needed to reach the highest spiritual progress. They are the seven steps in the eternal divine path and the greatest sign. These mysteries, which are revealed by Maitreya, however, would be sealed and not revealed until the time of the seventh angel. In quoting Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. As it is said, there are seven steps and truths or religions which are covered in Maitreya's teachings and the greatest sign. The prophet of each of them is called an angel. The teaching of Maitreya is the seventh one, and until this seventh angel comes, God and His work or plan will remain a mystery, at least for the human. The revelation or opening of the seven seals is another prophecy as a sign for knowing the expected one. Networking. Not only will Maitreya and his teachings unify humanity, but it is the sign of the coming of the new order of the ages. In the age to come, science and spirit will be combined. As it was mentioned, these new kinds of scientific discoveries, science based on spirit, should be encouraged. Therefore, a great preparation in this level also is necessary, so the new discoveries and scientific pursuits would be coordinated and prosper. Maitreya will work with other chosen ones, elects, the collective Messiah, in this regard, so humanity will achieve the highest standard of living and many other uncountable benefits. In this regard, a great networking between pioneers should be provided. Literature. The main book written by Maitreya, which explains his message in detail, has been written in 18 books, plus a glossary, with an explanation of the terminology used in these books. These books contain the basic teachings of Maitreya. All of these books are put together in one book. It is called The Holiest of the Holies, T-H-O-T-H. So, because it contains explanations of most of the holy books of the world and unifies them. Also, because the greatest sign contains seven truths or religions, and Maitreya's is the seventh one, and as explained above, in the time of this seventh truth, quote, the mystery of God should be finished, from Revelation 10:7. It is also called the Last Testament. So this new teaching is called the Holiest of the Holies, so the Last Testament. The book, the Holiest of the Holies, though, is the salvation for the coming age. It can be viewed as the revelation for the spiritual progress of humanity. The scientific aspect for the golden age, which is the science based on spirit, is included in this revelation and is a part of the coming of God's kingdom. For other literature offered by Maitreya, see the website www.maitreya.org. Summary. In brief, the objectives of the mission of Maitreya can be summarized as follows. Number one, world distribution of literature from the mission is now available. The book, The Holiest of the Holies, though. Also, creation of a library for all kinds of spiritual literature. Number two, a new world education program, including networking spiritually realized teachers, volunteers, and visionaries. And number three, the most important part of our work, the formation of the communities of light. Word of caution. If you do not understand all the explanations or terminologies above, do not let it concern you, except those which you understand. And if you are of the light, the rest will also gradually be revealed to you. If you have any questions, write and ask us about them. Questions@maitreya.org. Attunement and transmission. Attunement and transmission is to quiet the mind, and in a meditative mood, in the silence of the heart, try to become a channel to transmit love, tranquility, light, and all the qualities of God into the world. Indeed, when a person becomes in tune with God, he would become a channel to transmit his, God's, qualities. Individual attunement can be done any time, but if done with many people at the same time, it will have greater effect. That is why it is suggested that all who can tune in together for transmission every day at 6 a.m. and or 9 p.m. their local time. With this, at all times, people will be transmitting somewhere on the earth. As our numbers increase, we will have a greater effect on earth mentality. We also have attunement and transmission groups, which tune in Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Albuquerque time, Mountain Standard Time. If you would like to participate in this powerful spiritual uplifting, please tune in at either time, whichever is most convenient for you, or tune in at both times. When attunement is done collectively, collective meditation, it is directed to a center. A more focused and much greater effect is created. With this, a central focus will be generated and the energy can be used for a greater uplifting of consciousness. Concentration and opening your thought vibrations to Albuquerque is therefore encouraged. Maitreya also transmits many messages and realizations at these times, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. until 7 Mountain Standard Time Saturdays. Let us be united. Samgha Chatavam. Let us move together. Let us sing together. Let us come to know our minds together. Let us share, like sages of the past, that all people together may enjoy the universe. Unite our intention. Let our hearts be inseparable. Our mind is as one mind, as we, to truly know one another, become one. From the Rig Veda. Let's just go to the glossary. In the glossary, under letter E, Earth, hell, is used as a symbol for being in the lower nature and also as the planet Earth. However, its symbolic meaning is used more often than the other in the scriptures. In general, it is used as meaning hell. In fact, this earth is a hell when the laws of God are not followed. Eden, an ideal environment in which humans progress at the most accelerated rate. Also, it refers to the state of pure consciousness, to be in the image of God. Ego, the values related to the self. Ego should be divided into two kinds, false ego and actualized ego. False ego. Salam Pasela, nice to have you with us again today. Hope you have your speakers on. We're studying right now, Info, the new scripture for everyone, for all of humanity, in the glossary section. And great! If you have questions as we go along, feel free to type them in the text area. This is a definition of ego. A lot of people think they know what ego is. So let's return to the beginning. This is a wonderful section to realize what we're really dealing with ourselves. Ego, the values related to the self. Ego should be divided into two kinds. False ego, and actualized ego. False ego is accepting false and imaginary values as one's own true values. These false values can be internal or external. Internal false values are the beliefs of having some merits which actually do not exist in the person. We can recognize these false internal values when a person needs external support to believe that he actually possesses such merits, that others support that we have such values. If a person does not receive this external support, he will lose his confidence and feel very miserable. External false ego is any kind of value or greatness we relate to ourselves because of external possessions in the external world. If a person loses these possessions, he will lose confidence and be lost. Both internal and external false egos are what can be called the illusion of life or Maya. Actualized ego is when the true values of the person and his higher self are actualized, recognized, realized, and developed by him. Such values do not need external support, and such a person does not value himself by external possessions. Only a person with an actualized ego will gain true confidence and happiness. He will expel the illusion of the false ego and set himself free. So that was the definition. I see you've got a question or a statement saying, I would so like to know what ego is. So there we can see there's the false ego, which is attached to this external world, and it relies on this external world's feedback in order to feel good about itself and in order to be okay. But an actualized ego is one that does not have that kind of dependency on an external circumstance. It is drawing from within the true values of the self. In other words, just give an example. This is just my two cents worth. For a person to be honest, they don't have to. Honesty is something that comes from within the self. You act honest. You are honest. You speak honestly. You don't try to prove it by some ways in the external world to show that the external world makes you honest. No, you're honest from inside first, and that is what shows forth. And people accept you as an honest person. So any discussion or questions are welcome about that. So ego also is that illusion of separation from God, being attached to the external world, because when we're in that connection with God on the inside, then that's an actualization, that's a realization of who we really are. Not what this world says, not what our parents says we are, not what society says we are, and not getting into typical stereotyped or categorized situations that are popular nowadays. So we know who we are because we are then connected to that essence of God within us, and that is what that actualization is all about. Any questions about that? In fact, there's another word in the glossary under the letter A. It's the definition of an actualized person. A person who knows the self, and that's spelled with a capital S, a person who knows the self and is aware of what he can do and cannot do. He is content with what he is without relying on others' approval or disapproval. So that's a very short definition of how we can understand what we were created for, why we are on this earth, what is our dharma. That's a word that sometimes a lot of people don't understand about dharma. And there's a great explanation here. Again, we're going through different parts of the glossary here. Dharma, or dharma, spelled D-A-H-A-R-M-A or D-A-R-M-A. A lot of people have heard the word but may not truly understand what it really is. The very word dharma or dharma means innate nature. Any subject in this world has a nature. Even this universe itself has a nature. Also, as the subjects become more complicated, they will become multi-natured. They will have more than one dharma or dharma. These dharmas should be viewed as laws set up for each subject to follow. If a subject follows his or her nature, it will be in harmony with the universal laws. If he or she does not follow his or her nature, disharmony will be created, which will result in confusion and unhappiness. These natures or dharmas can be understood by deep observation, meditation, and concentration. Also, most of them are revealed by God through his prophets, if you understand them. When all things follow their dharmas, then the kingdom of heaven within and without can be established. Now, pausing for a moment, if we go back and really look at this, look at the world right now. Of course, setting aside the wars that are going on, that we know that's happening, we know that was even prophesied to happen, so we're not too surprised that that is going on. But how many people just around you can truly say they are happy? They are doing what they were created to do and be in this world. A lot of people say catchy little phrases like, oh, I'm never going to grow up, or I'm waiting to find out what I'm going to be when I grow up, or they just say, I'm not happy, I'm depressed, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I'm not happy in my job, I'm not happy in my family, I'm not happy in my marriage. We hear a lot of that, and it's reflected in society through our programs, through even going into a bookstore, go to the self-help section. It is astounding. People say, oh, get happy in 30 days, we guarantee it. Well, none of that's going to work, because unless a person knows what they're waited for, they will never find that happiness. So let's go back up to this paragraph. It says, if a subject or a person follows his or her nature, it will be in harmony with the universal laws. If he or she does not follow his or her nature, disharmony will be created, which will result in confusion and unhappiness. It also, just kind of making a jump here, this is just where my thoughts are going with it. There's that prophecy about from the Bhagavad Gita, when the Savior, the Messiah, the prophet comes, when there is great confusion on earth. Now, what is causing, if we look at this paragraph again, what is causing the confusion? It's because not only one person, but practically the whole of humanity is not following the dharma, what they were created to be, or the universal dharmas or laws. Dharmas can also be viewed as universal laws. So if the world, society, humanity has gone away from doing their dharma, it results in disharmony. It results in confusion and unhappiness, and they're basically lost. That is why God sends his messenger again to bring humanity back to the right path, which, of course, is the eternal divine path, which has now been completely revealed. Okay, Pasela is saying, who I know appear to be contented in following society's ways. But is that society doing what it was made to do? See, there's different levels of understanding dharma. If a society is following the ways of God, then the answer would be yes. But that society should be following the eternal divine path. So if they're not completely 100% following the ways of God, then what appears to be contented, what appears to be happiness, is probably not true. So we have to look at it in a very deep level and know that, understand that God's messenger is here. And then ask ourselves, ask our family, look at our society and say, is it really following what God is saying to do? And also, societies become stagnant. They become set in their ways, and they think, oh, we're doing fine, we're doing okay, when really, when the Messiah is here, when the prophet is here, when the message is here, they haven't learned that their way is now required, right, stuck, absolutely, good word. Their society is now required to move forward. There's new, higher understanding. So that is what the Messiah also does. He helps humanity to take a leap forward to a better place, to a more harmonious place with the universal laws. So what maybe appears to be contented can sometimes just be a way of being escapist or turning a blind eye, so to speak, when they're really not understanding and seeing that God's prophet is here and God's way has now been revealed. So it's a challenge to humanity. It's a challenge to step up. It's a challenge to say, okay, I see. Humanity has been very lost and confused. Why? They went away from God. It created disharmony, confusion, and disruption in the world. That was supposed to happen. But now, through all the prophecies being fulfilled, God has sent his messenger. So it comes down to a choice. Are we going to follow God and his messenger and bring the world back to a harmony, back to a happiness, back to following the universal laws? Or are we going to be stuck and lost? Pasela is asking, do you feel any of the previous messengers have improved this world much? Absolutely. Without the previous messengers, we would be very stuck. We would still be back in 6,000 years ago or 12,000 years ago. We would not have progressed. Anytime the messenger comes. Now, this was Noah, who was the first in this era to bring the way to worship God, the way to know God in the mystical paths. And then there was Abraham, who God promised all those wonderful promises and fulfilled them and began a great plan about the prophecies of the next prophets. And then there's Christianity, Isa the Christ, and there's Prophet Muhammad, who both came from the lineage of Abraham. Then there was the Baha'i Faith. Then there was the Nanda Marga, now Maitreya. Each time the prophet came, those who would listen to him, see, that's the trick. Some listen, some don't. God said there would be a sundering, and that sundering happens here at the end time, and we really sunder ourselves. Are we going to be just so stubborn and stuck and not listen and be stuck in just one religion or one way that society says we should be, or are we really going to listen to God? So it really comes down to some very basic choices. Do we believe in God? Do we believe God exists? And if we do, are we going to lay down what we think is the truth, which is generally based on ideas from that external world, which is the false ego? Or are we going to say, enough of that already. I'm tired of being lost and unhappy. I want God. I want his way. That is the only way to bring the balance, to bring the happiness, to bring the harmony back to humanity, back to the whole world. And only then, in that circumstance, by everyone following the eternal divine path, are we going to have that promised kingdom of heaven on earth. When we can look at it in very basic terms, it's really quite simple. Absolutely. Walk the walk and talk the talk. You said it perfectly. Empty words, pretty words, do not make it. And it's still, people have fooled themselves. And again, that's that false ego. That's even prophesied in the revelation of the revelation. And so, which the beast is talking great and wonderful things, and it looks great and it speaks great. It's just the intellect. And intellect just basically loves to hear itself talk. It's not concerned about what God thinks, is concerned about what man thinks and society thinks. So it's trying to get all that approval and all of that feel good from that external world, which right here from the definition says false ego. And when you're following false ego, you're not following the Dharma. And if you're not following the Dharma, you're lost and unhappy. And when you can trace it back very easily. Absolutely. Well, that's what communities of light are all about. We were having a conversation last night, and it seems as though, you know, we're all living such separate, lonely little lives. And according to God's design, the communities of light, cures that feeling of loneliness. I mean, we all have times where we're stuck with something that we're wrestling with within ourselves, and maybe we get a little too stuck. If we were living in a community, in a setup where there were other spiritually aware people who knew us well, they loved us, they accepted us, they may see us struggling, and it would be an okay thing to say to someone in that community, I'm having trouble. And the person says, let's talk about it. What's going on? Do we feel lonely in that case? No. We feel like we've got the support of community, of friends who understand that they have a Dharma too and understands that community has a Dharma. And when a person is bogged down with being in the world too much, or they're really struggling with a spiritual issue, they have that connection and support and love from the community. That's why the communities of light are the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. There's a lot on the Maitreya website. It's up there on our banner, www.maitreya.org, about communities of light. And we can see how perfectly they would support the married couples. They would support the single people. The single people, in that respect, live in the houses with the married couples. So the singles aren't out there just living in a little apartment and eating poor food and feeling so alone and helpless. No, they're involved in the community. They're with the families. They're enjoying life. And they may choose not to be married. That's okay. They may choose to devote their lives to God and His plan. But they're also supported with the community at the same time. Priscilla is saying, we are unique, yet we expect others to do it our way sometimes. Not just sometimes, a lot of times, I'm afraid. See, that's that false ego. That false ego says, well, my way is better than your way. It creates that separation. That's why in the communities, every Saturday evening after Sabbath, we have what's called a community unity meeting. People may say, well, I've got a good idea. Well, throw it out on the table. Let's talk about it. Let's brainstorm. Let's see what it's all about. It may be a good idea. It may be improved upon, or it may be determined that maybe it's not a good idea. And we're not attached. See, that false ego is not attached to my way is better, so that makes me better. See, that's that external approval again. That's why community can help a person grow spiritually just thousands of times faster than if you were out there living by yourself, and like you said, thinking you've got the best way to do it and everybody else should do it my way. That's just got all the earmarks of false ego written all over it. There's a great booklet on our website called Thus Speaks Maitreya on Communities of Light, and it gives a setup. Anyone can set up a community based on the Eternal Divine Path. See, that's the trick. It has to be based on the Eternal Divine Path, or it's not going to work. There's too much ego involved in regular communities. You've probably been to some, I sure have, and they all just fall apart because of what you just said. Everyone wants to do it their way. And they don't have the higher focus, which of course is God, His way, the Dharma for that community and that society, and they lose it. But if you have the Eternal Divine Path, just like our community unity meeting, it smooths these kinds of things out. So we can reach compromises, we can look at it objectively and just not be attached to what we think our ideas are. But if an idea is progress, helps the community, then the community can implement it and move forward, and that person has contributed to the community. What part of the world do you live in, Pasela? I know you've been to our room before. It's been a while. Nice to see you back again. Australia, that's right. That's right, I remember now. Welcome from Australia. Salon Sponsored, we were just talking about communities of light. Sponsored is in Canada. So we have people from all over the world come here and learn about this message, but they hear about it, and it's time for people to step forward. It's time for people to say, you know, I've had enough of this world and its false ego and its disharmony and its confusion. I want to lay down what that's all about. I want God. I want His way. I want communities. I want the kingdom of heaven on earth. And start to implement the eternal divine path in their lives. One way to do that is to follow the spiritual practices given by the mission. We were talking about getting stuck, getting lost. Well, it's these spiritual practices that help you to break through those barriers, break through those blocks that we have set up for ourselves and our society has set up for us. And it makes us get more in tune with God and His laws and find out what is our dharma. What are we made to be here for? Pasela is saying, what if you don't know people at all who feels like you do? Thanks God for the internet. So we have a cyber community here. So come to this room, come to our spiritual practices. We have them right here live on the internet. Come hear Maitreya, listen to the teaching, study so. It helps you to find out for yourself what is your dharma, and it raises your energy now as you wrap yourself up in what God's plan is. It is going to affect the people around you. They're going to say, something's happened. Something's a little different. Some people may not like it. But there are those who will see that difference and be attracted to it. They go, what's going on with you? You all of a sudden look better. Or you sound better. You're happy. I want to know what you're doing. So that's how we attract the people in our lives who are more open to this. Yes, there is a room in the metaphysical section called Let's Stop the Madness. And in that room we play previous sat songs of Maitreya. And it's open sometimes and a lot of times in conjunction with when this room is open. There's also another room that plays more sat songs called Discourses by Maitreya. And it's in this religious group section, the interfaith section. It's a listen-only room, but, right, yeah, the people go in and out of all these different rooms. All right, any other questions? Also, one of the things to bring ourselves back into the harmony is to follow the Dharma, follow the laws of God. One of the laws of God is to keep His holy days, not to keep society's cultural holidays or local traditions, but to keep God's holy days. Coming up October the 5th, we start the Feast of Tabernacles, and we will be celebrating here in this room, and you're welcome to come and join us this year. The focus is on the fourth seal in the greatest sign, the Eternal Divine Path, Islam, surrendering and submission to God. Well, in surrendering and submission to God, that's just a wonderful way to get rid of false ego. We don't want that. We want God. So there's a choice right there. Do we follow our local traditions and local holidays, man's traditions, or do we follow God? It comes down to that simple of a choice. Now, this, if you go to the section about the Feast of Tabernacles on our website, it gives a calendar, and it shows the different feasts through the year. This coming Friday, which is the 22nd, which is the full moon, we have the Feast of Trumpets. It's like the awakening. It's like, wake up, humanity. The Messiah's here. And then on October 1st, there's the Day of Atonement. It's when you have, it's a time of purification. In that time, you eat vegetables, you lighten your spirit, you look at your life. Are we doing our Dharma? Do we know what our Dharma is? And we look at what, how, we look at how maybe we have been off the path, or ways we can improve, or if there's things that we need to correct in our lives. Then on the Day of Atonement, that is the day that we say, God, I'm sorry, and I'm going to do better. And then it follows with this great celebration called the Feast of Tabernacles. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, the energy of God is on earth the greatest and highest than it is at any other time of the year. And when you keep these holidays, you will feel that wonderful godly energy. During feast, we are vegetarian because meat is for flesh and vegetables are for consciousness. So we want to raise our consciousness to that higher level. Now, during the rest of the year, it is just middle path. Don't eat red meat, which really brings your consciousness down to a lower level, but to have a middle path that you have some meat and some vegetables, mostly vegetables, and because that's our goal, we want to go to a higher consciousness, but it's not a strict kind of thing that you can't or you're forbidden to eat meat. That's not what the Mission of Maitreya teaches. There's a section also in supplements, I believe, in Tho, that's called food. And again, we go by the guidelines in the Bible. The Sela is saying, I'm going through a stage on whether all animals have a soul. Actually, if you do a search on our website, several times Maitreya has been asked this question about, it's not only animals, it's everything. Everything has the essence of God in it, and each thing has a purpose or dharma also. Not just humans have dharma. Everything in the universe has a purpose, has a reason. So even if you remember, like in Native American traditions, in that mystical path sort of way, they would apologize when they go to kill an animal and say, my family has to eat. God did not forbid eating meat, remember, after the flood of Noah. So the person apologizes to the animal in that tradition, and then kills the animal for food and blesses it to the nourishment of his body. So it is, if you are, so in that sense, the animal is doing its dharma, it's being food. And if you look at nature, most animals are food in, you know, the food chain. There we go. Do you need to eat meat? Not necessarily. It's up to each person. But like we said, meat is for flesh, and sometimes the body needs support. Sometimes it needs some protein. There's better ways to get protein, and it just depends on the person. You can eat fish, you can eat beans, you can eat soy, all sorts of things. So it's not so much about meat itself. It is about why we eat it. If we want to strive for that higher consciousness, we just simply eat more vegetables. It is the middle path. In fact, if you look at that food essay, you'll see there are definitely clean meats you can eat, and there are unclean. God did that for a reason, because what is considered as unclean animals are the animals which their dharma is to clean the earth. And Maitreya has given the example where if we eat the things like the shrimp, the catfish, the cleaners of the earth, the pigs, they're really cleaners of the earth. They scavenge the dirt and eat all the things, garbage and stuff like that. Now, if humans eat all the garbage cleaners, it's going to create an imbalance in earth. It's going to create a dirty earth. So that is the why of what is God's law that is important to be understood. When we understand that if we eat all the shrimp can't clean the ocean, we're going to have dirty oceans and pollutions, and the oceans are a living thing. So we stop and say, well, I'm not going to eat the shrimp. Let them do their dharma. Now, if you are preventing someone from doing their dharma, that gets into some karma situations. So we have to look at it as everything is connected. It works with each other and with everything, or it works against. Are we working against, or are we working with God's plan? So when we understand the why of it all, that's when it really makes sense. And that's what Maitreya has revealed to humanity. The why of God's plan, the why of all the revelations before it, the why of the spiritual practices, the why of the eternal divine path and the communities of light and everything. So when we really understand that, it makes sense. And then we have no problems when we understand the why. We have no problems with letting it go. We can put that link up in text for you about food. And this will be from the new scripture. So, any other questions? What we do, I don't know if you visited this room or not before. We read from the teachings, or we share the teachings, and if there's any particular topic that anyone is interested in, please let us know, and we're very flexible. We can go to different topics, but we do stay on topic of the eternal divine path, because it's the dharma for humanity. All right. If not, we'll go ahead and turn our mic over to our next reader.